Okay, this is huge, all right? So we're starting a new series. It's entitled Pushing Back the Darkness. That's right, Pushing Back the Darkness. It's about an 8-week series. It starts today. Very important. Though we'll be online the next couple, 2-3 weeks, we have a lot to do. You have a lot to do at home. I have a lot to do with my personal life and my home as it pertains to this particular study. We are going to start a fast today. I don't know if you've been brought up to speed with that in earlier marketing and promotion and online and the email, but if you're behind, that's okay. You'll catch up. We're starting a Daniel fast today at sunset. So let's get official about it. We're starting a Daniel fast today at 5:46 p.m. Eastern time. How do you like that for organization? So we're going to start a Daniel fast. If there's one thing that Community Bible Church does well, and there are many, fasting is one of them. Okay? You understand fasting. So this Daniel fast, I sent out this past week kind of parameters of what a Daniel fast is. I do not want you to get caught up in condemnation and legalism, okay? Let's not turn this thing into some sort of performance issue. Let's turn it into an act of worship. There's three things a disciple does. They give, not just financially, in every way. They give love, they give encouragement, they give wisdom, they give counsel, they give money, whatever the case may be, they give. This is all in Matthew 6. They pray and they fast. And they do that, all three, anonymously, okay? Your prayer closet, put oil on your head when you're fasting, you don't want people to know you're fasting, and you give anonymously. So that's what we are. We're weapons of the kingdom of God, we're disciples of Christ, followers of Christ, and we do these three things. Now, we do prayer and fasting together. Okay? Fasting without prayer is the diet. Okay? We don't go on diets as a church. That's your personal business. We don't corporately do that, but we do fast and we do pray. Okay? Man does not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. So our fast is about denying ourselves certain things that we may focus in on and fix our eyes on Him, the author and perfecter of our faith, that we may make Him our sustenance, Him our strength, as we consecrate our time together, okay? And we're gonna have a prayer consecration after the service. All right, that having been said, we're gonna look at this verse written by Jeremiah. Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. How'd you like to be the weeping prophet? Wow, what a gig. He prophesied the word of God. I don't even know the word for it, but it was dark. If anyone wanted to know how to push back the darkness, it was Jeremiah. He was the weeping prophet. He's had depression. He wrote the book of Lamentations, where people did nothing but lament under siege warfare. Their children, their dead children, were eaten. That's how bad it was, okay? I'm talking bad. So he says, in the midst of all of this, to Judah, and with the Babylonian invasion imminent, he says this, call to me. All right, here we go. Call to me, and I will answer you. All right, see that? See the relationship between call and answer. All right, we're going to be calling on the Lord for the next 21 days as a church. We're going to be calling on the Lord over your household, over your business, over the church, over the nation. Call to me, and I will answer you and tell you, great, I'm all for that. I don't want mediocre. I want great. I want enormous. I want bountiful. I want plentiful. I want authentic. I want great. Don't you want, call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. Say what? Unsearchable things. What meaneth this? Well, let's get into it. In Lamentations, chapter 3, verse 22 and 24, the only positive statements made in the whole entire book, Jeremiah writes this, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. You may feel like you're being consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. This is what we've got to get. If you're going to get into a fast and you're going to get something out of it, okay? The goal of the fast is not the end result as much as it is the process of the 3-week period of time. Now, you're going to have to lay out for yourself what that looks like. Maybe it'd be a total fast at times. Maybe not. Maybe it's a distraction fast. Hopefully, it's social media fast. You want to be serious about it. If you really want to fix yourself on the Lord, you're going to have to get rid of social media. I can tell you right now. I don't see how the two go together in this current climate. But if you think so, whatever. Are you going to find out that the Lord is your portion? That's what we're looking to do here. Now, you say, that sounds like a meal. Well, in a way, it is a meal. In a way, the Lord does provide himself for you and your interaction and intimacy with him during a fast that actually satisfies and fulfills you. In terms of fasting, you should not feel so empty when you fast. You actually, in fellowship with God in prayer, can actually feel fulfilled. How about that? You can feel fulfilled. Now, you may not physically, but then again, you might. So how do we enter into this thing with our attitude is very important. The Lord is my portion. Now, I wanted to highlight this word for a minute so I can kind of give you an idea what we're looking for in this fast. In the Hebrew, the word portion actually means that its root, the root word, is a tract of land. Isn't that odd? God is going to be your portion in a very dark time. God is going to be like a tract of land, not riddled with trees, roots, or rocks, but cleared. God is going to be your portion. So in other words, he's going to provide a fertile field for you during a fast. Talk to him about this over the next 21 days. That he is going to provide for you the opportunities to grow and to be prosperous and to be abundant and to see things come to life. Not a field you have to clear, not a field you have to get the rocks out of, not a field you have to, it's ready, okay? He is your portion, okay? That's who he is. It's not a cluttered tract of land, it's a fertile, prepared piece of land for you. So the next 3 weeks are a portion for you in the midst of a dark time, whereby if you steward that opportunity appropriately and allow me to help you kind of navigate what this 3 weeks look like on a daily basis. I'm going to send you a prayer every morning, okay? That prayer might be my prayer, might be a prayer for you, but it's a prayer to get you in the lane and the gear to be praying your own words in your own way as it pertains to being a good steward of the portion that he has for you. And I can tell you, this is a whole lot better than interacting with the world. It's a whole lot better than arguing or debating or being divisive or find yourself alienated or being on two different poles with your family members. This right here, what is your portion the next 3 weeks? And how will you steward the opportunity with that portion to maybe to heal? Maybe to be restored, renewed, revived, resurrected in some way, shape, or form. I don't know where you are, but there's a field ready to be planted with truth that will grow and prosper in your life and provide you what it is you actually need. Not my place to tell you that, but wherever you are, you're in need of the Lord as a portion, as a garden to grow something new and different, okay? That's what Jeremiah is saying in the midst of all of that. All right, let's take it this verse. Call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. Call, just what you would think. A loud utterance, maybe even laced with a possible element of seasoning of desperation, okay? Holy desperation. A call of maybe even distress is fine, but a call. A call, not like any other call, a call that says, I need you now, let's meet in this field and talk. Can we come and reason together? I'm in this dark place, this world, I may not be dark inside, but it's pressing in on me. I'm taking the bait in certain circumstances. I'm being conformed, frankly, by the world in certain circumstances. I'm alienated from my own church body. There's people getting sick all around me. California people are dying every 6 minutes, whatever the case may be. In the next 21 days, what's your portion? What's your field? And are you calling? To summon in Hebrew, God into your context. To summon God into your situation so as to make sense of it. I know everybody right now thinks they got everything figured out about what's going on in the world. And I also know that nobody really has anything figured out about what's going on in the world. If I don't know anything, I know that. Nobody has all the answers. Summon God into your situation and allow him to make sense of what it is your portion is during this time. What's your purpose? That's call. Call to me and I will answer you and tell you. I will tell you. What does this mean? This word tell, it's not just verbalize something. Like you get in with the Lord in the next 21 days as the leadership of the church prays over you during this fast and fast themselves. To tell is almost show. It's like show and tell. We're just not talking rhetoric during this fast. We're calling on the name of the Lord that he would tell us, show us something. I'm going to use this word. He would manifest something in, maybe even himself, manifest himself in your situation. We don't need just words right now. We need to call on the name of the Lord. And he knows this, and this is why Jeremiah is saying, call to me, he's saying, be personal with me. I am your God. Early in the morning will I seek him. Call to me and I will answer you. I will tell you. I will show you. God is in the business of showing, manifesting, changing, transforming, planting, doing something. He doesn't want us with a faith without works. He has works, good works. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. He's going to do something. God's going to do something in this next 21 days that you can see with your eyes. That by your faith, which is the evidence of things not yet seen, you're going to call on him and he's going to tell you, he's going to show you something that you no longer have to believe for. You can see it right in front of your face. That's what he's trying to say in this verse. Unsearchable things. He goes, I'm going to show you unsearchable things. The Hebrew root here means like under the roots. You know how you've heard it said that the Old Testament is the root and the New Testament is the fruit. All right. You walk outside, walk in the hiking trail or whatever, you see a tree out of the ground, you say, wow, that's incredible. You've seen redwoods out in California. You go, man, that is really incredible. But you also know that there are roots under those trees, and those roots expand out, and they get the nourishment. You know how all this works. But this word unsearchable is not just the root. It's under the root. I mean, the point here is there's something going on that actually is going to astound you when you call to him and he tells you and shows you things, unsearchable things. Things that weren't on your radar, maybe have never been on your radar, things that are revelatory, things that are exposed, secret things. Like you want to draw near to the Lord, and he's not going to be in the earthquake, he's not going to be in the wind, he's not going to be in the firestorm, but he will be in the whisper. He's going to show you things really close, secret things, personal things about you, about your life, right? He says, this is the way I want to do it. In this very, very dark time, I want you to call, and I will show, and I will show you things that you didn't even know were there, that you thought were there, that are different than what you thought. That are me. It's even beneath the root. Okay? That's unsearchable. And he says, things you do not know. Or the King James, you know it's not. Let me expound on this a bit. This word know is the word yada in Hebrew. You know, Adam knew Eve. Adam, yada, Eve. It is to know Adam knew Eve in an intimate way. He knew things of her and knew things about her and his relationship with her that were deeper and more substantial and personal and intimate between them that other people would never know, weren't supposed to ever know. Just like you have loved ones in your life, you yada them. You know things about them that no one else knows. Some of you have been in counseling with me. I've got the dirt. Everyone's dumped, not everyone, but people dump their confession. They dump their sin. They dump their transgressions. They dump their betrayals. You'd be surprised how much I know about each and every person in the community that has been vulnerable at some point in time. Say, I know that about them. Okay, it's not my place to tell anybody about that, but that is a level of understanding between two people that others do not know. Okay? God is saying, I'm going to bring something to the forefront here, and there's going to be a relationship between you and I to where we know each other mutually know each other on a level that is different than anyone else. Like, you're not going to live someone else's walk anymore. You're not going to live your wife's walk anymore. You're not going to follow your wife in her spiritual walk anymore. This 21 days, you may find something out between you and the Lord. You're not going to vicariously follow your husband's walk. You're going to fortify your own in your own portion, your own field. You're going to know God in a way that others don't, that is specific to you personally. There's the verse. Like, I'm giving you a look into this verse. Call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. You're going to fast before God, worship before God. You're going to be intimate with him. He's going to show you things, tell you things, and it's going to end up with something being planted in that portion that he gives you that changes the trajectory of how you understand God, yourself, and other people, and it's going to be personal. I like that, okay? Personal, non-threatening, personal, encouraging, uplifting, unifying, and noble. There's the verse. Call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. All right, now, let's talk some more about calling on the Lord. You see this verse, it appears twice in the Bible. First in Joel 10 and 32. For those of you taking notes, you may want to go look at this. Joel 10 and 32, and then it appears again, I think word for word, I'm not sure, Romans 10 and 13. Okay, what is this verse? Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. What is this? Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Okay, when did Joel write that? Well, gosh, Joel wrote that during a plague of locusts. He declared a holy fast, okay? He declared a holy fast. Now, who was called to fast in the book of Joel? A bride, groom, even in their wedding chamber, nursing mothers, the elderly, everybody. I mean, everyone was called into fast, a holy fast, consecrated holy fast. Why? Because the locusts were coming. Now, how did the locusts come? The locusts came in waves. Wave one, they would eat the outer leaves. Wave two, they'd eat more of the leaves. Wave three, they'd eat the fruit. Wave four, they'd eat the stalks. So, I mean, by the time they got done methodically and strategically destroying the crop, there was nothing left. It was like grapes of wrath, okay? So what's the point here? Now, I've shared this with you before. When the locusts come, they don't eat the fruit. Not the first wave. They don't eat the fruit. What do they eat? They eat the outer leaf. Why? Because the outer leaf protects the fruit. The outer leaf is above the fruit and protects the fruit from being overheated or scorched by the sun, especially in the Middle East. The fruit dries up once the leaf is eaten. It's the same in ministry. It's the same in your life. It's the same in your family. It's the same in your marriage. When the protective covering over the fruit is left bare, the fruit dries up. What is that? Well, that is, the leaf is prayer. Once prayer goes, the fruit soon follows. And that's what the locusts do, okay? So Joel is calling this fast of prayer in his desperation as these waves of destruction come over the land. I mean, it's not unlike today, really. You got a pandemic and everyone's got a different opinion of it. And then different waves hit. The surges hit in different areas, and then another surge hits, and then another surge hits. Right now we're in a really bad time. People are dying, big time. And it's like locusts. And it's a distraction, and it's a nuisance. It's a nuisance to some. It's a call to death for others. Some are find it a nuisance, an inconvenience. Others want to breathe another breath. It's unbelievable how we look at this thing. And in the middle of all of that, we have locusts, and then what does the church do? Well, I don't know what the church does overall, but I know I got a responsibility in this church, and you call the church to fast and to pray, to declare a holy fast, everyone, so that we can protect the fruit of the church. Okay? The locusts want to eat it. Okay, so over the next 21 days, I'm going to provide for you a track to run on. Doesn't mean it's the greatest track in the world, it's just a track. I'm going to give you three messages over the next three Sundays and then five additional messages. The first three will be about what we're doing during the fast, and then the next five are going to be about the fivefold ministry of Jesus Christ. And you say, well, what does it have to do with us? A great deal. I'm going to talk about apostolic ministry, prophetic ministry, evangelistic ministry, pastoral ministry, and instructive ministry or teaching. Now, you say, well, what does that have to do with me? A lot. I know those things are offices. I know that they are declared functions, and God and Christ has apportioned grace for some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists. I get that. But in a church, there has to be the personality of flavor and function of these five areas in terms of apostolic authority, apostolic ministry around the world, apostolic consultation. There needs to be things in apostleship over a church, like some of you need to take on some of the behavior, like networking and bringing churches together and all of those things, apostolic, prophetic. We've got a ways to go on some prophetic. We can learn some things in evangelism. Pastoral teaching. Hey, listen, pastoral behavior is increasing in this church, especially through our Shalom ministers. I'm so proud of the way, I don't think many people realize how much people are in despair right now, and how much ministry right now is about weeping with people and holding people as they shake in pain, or to be with people when they want to kill themselves, or trust me, it's a mess out there. And I just want to say our Shalom ministers. Anyway, we'll get to those five messages, and I think you'll find them very appropriate, very informative, very innovative, and very inspirational. I want you to take these 21 little prayers each morning, whenever you get up, listen to them, and use it as a primer for your own prayer life. I want you to get into it and say, all right, I'm going to call on the name of the Lord. Now, each day will be based on a different name of God. How about that? We're going to expand and diversify not only our understanding, but our experience of who God is in our life, our portion. Each day we'll focus in on one, if not two, possibly sometimes three names of God. Now, when you call on the name of the Lord, let me tell you what's different about just calling. Praying. When you call on the name of the Lord and expect of him what is in keeping with his name and his nature, it's for his name's sake that we pray, not for our sake, but for his name's sake. His credibility is on the line as we call upon his name, because his reputation, his witness to manifest and show himself when you call on his name to tell you unsearchable things, okay? So we're gonna call not just on the Lord. I think some of you have been doing that your whole life. We're gonna do something different. We're gonna call on the names of the Lord and diversify our experience and understanding of who he is in our everyday life. I'm gonna give you a track to run on to that extent. I'm gonna prime the pump each morning for you to get going in that vein so that you can begin to explore different facets of the Holy Spirit, different facets of the promises of God, different facets of the fulfillment of the prophecies of God, that you may get and touch unsearchable things below the root you didn't know before, because we've been on a lane that lacked diversity. We're going to call on the name of the Lord, as the scripture says. I'm going to help you with that. We're going to protect the fruit in our life. We're going to pray over our children. We're going to pray over our spouses. We're going to pray over our homes. We're going to pray over our businesses. We're going to pray over the church and expect a manifestation or a showing up of God as a result of our prayer during this time of fasting. We are going to pray for his presence. We're going to talk about that. And we're going to expect unsearchable things. Things we thought we knew that we didn't. I remember years ago, back in my days of being a knucklehead, I was in my early 20s. I was making like Well, this is in the mid-80s. I was making like 50 grand a year. I mean, that was a lot of money back then. And I was working 12 hours a day, almost 6 days a week. It's ridiculous. And to tell you what I did with my money, what a great steward I was. I had, at the end of all of that, I came to the end of myself, really, and I was like, I had $4,000 in the bank. Man, I thought that was a lot of money. Anyway, the Lord was pulling on my heart, and He was taking me out of the world, and I just up and quit my job. I was the closing negotiator finance man in a car dealership, man. If you wanted the deal closed, you brought it to me, and even if I had to handcuff the customer to the car, they were going home with it. Anyway, I was a mess. I didn't realize how much a mess I was until I stepped out of that arena and realized that normal people don't work that many hours. Normal people don't spend money the way I was. Normal people don't define themselves by what they do. Normal people aren't in bondage to a sense of status and success. And normal people aren't trying to constantly achieve the acceptance of those around them. And normal people, noble people, righteous people, don't take advantage of others in a business transaction. But it took me 3, 4, 5, 6 months to realize, almost as though I had been on the field of combat, and I did not realize how stressed I was, how depraved I was, how mixed up I was. I thought I was really getting something done. I was destroying myself. So this is part of the unsearchable things that you do not know. There are things that will come up during this fast in your life that you think you know that you really didn't. Or that you think you know you may need to be open to changing a bit. Some of us have been so intensely focused on the things of this world in the last 9 months of all nature of things. And to be honest with you, I don't see the evidence. I'm sorry. I don't see the manifestation of the counsel of the Holy Spirit in all of these things. Not all of them. So I would ask, I implore you, I beseech you as a pastoral figure in your life, as a friend, to step out of the world for 21 days. It'll be there when you get done. It'll be there for me when I get done. And just center in on that field and unsearchable things. You, I, together, don't have it all figured out. We need the counsel of the Spirit of God, the counselor, the counselor. To counsel us as we fast. Unsearchable things. I'm praying over you a shift in emphasis and focus, a shift even in the heavenlies as it pertains to the church, the community, the nation. A shift versus a drift. If you're adrift, come on in. Water's fine. Let's lay out 3 weeks. Let's be in touch. Let's finish what we start. Let's get some continuity going. Let's get some holy habits back. Let's discipline ourselves a little bit. Let's, hey, here's a word, sacrifice. If you can call it that. Let's shift. Shift our perspectives, our mindsets. Let's flow versus drip. Let's expect diversity from God. Let's get back to the basics of discipleship. Now, after this is over and we collect ourselves, I'm looking for people who want to be in a discipleship group. I want to take you through about 12 months of intense discipleship, not for the weary at heart. If there's some men in the church that want to go through a discipleship process, I want to do that with you. I want to have a small group of people that are going to go through that. I want you to pray about that, okay? The basics of discipleship, the disciplines of the faith, the fundamentals of the faith, the elementary teachings of the faith. Listen, they're not elementary alone. They're crucial building blocks and foundation for maturity. I want us to shed some worldliness, and I want to encourage you to shed benevolence, ambivalence if it exists, and then ask God for a fresh anointing. Some of the names of God that will lead our prayer over the next 21 days, the I Am, of course, Adonai. Elkanah, meaning the jealous one. God's jealous right now. Jehovah Jireh, Shalom, Shammah, Rapha, Makadish, Nisi, Rohi, El Shaddai, Elohim Shamri, El Olam. We're gonna really get into it. We're going to get to know God in a yada kind of way, in a way we didn't know before. All right? 5:46 tonight on your phone app. The introductory prayer that starts it all. 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. For the next 21 days, we're going to be in prayer, priming the pump for something deeper, something richer, something better. Praying the prodigal's home, praying over your children, praying over your children's future spouse, whatever, however the Lord leads you, but call to him. Call to him and call on his name. He says he will answer you. He also says he will show you, tell you, manifest something great that you didn't expect, didn't know, that is beyond what you could fathom, that's beneath the root, and planted in a field that is called your portion, that will build up life and integrity and promises and passion for God. That's how we push back the darkness. All right. Do you have your elements ready? Let's come to the Holy Eucharist. The Holy Eucharist, the table of thanksgiving. I'll tell you a quick story. Two boys grew up in a small town. They became best of friends. In fact, they were like blood brothers. They did everything together. They played in the summers together. They competed together. They were in athletics together. They got to know one another. They knew each other's next move. They finished one another's sentences. They were, in every sense of the word, best friends. As they grew a little older and neared adulthood, one really pursued academics, became a lawyer, passed the bar, even became a judge. The other took a different direction, a different trajectory. This one pursued nothing but their own selfish gain, kind of went the other direction, got involved in some illicit behavior, and eventually got arrested. On one particular day, as the court opened, the judge sat in his seat, and there it was, right before him, his childhood friend. They had lost touch. They had very little in common. But here now the judge found himself looking at his friend, and he said to himself, I cannot compromise my duty to be a judge, to exact judgment for the wrongdoing that occurred in my friend. I can't absolve myself and show favoritism to him at the expense of another. Knowing what he had to do, he took and put upon his friend an exorbitant fine. An exorbitant fine that was proportional to, if not exceeding, what was customary for the crime. He then closed down the court for the day, left the bench, came down to his friend, and himself, the judge, paid the fine. There it is. God is a righteous judge who must judge your sin and mine, must judge it severely, and in fact, he must abhor it, hate it, detest it. But at the same time, the righteous judge steps off the bench and pays the penalty for it. For the righteous judge is also gracious and merciful. That's this table. The righteous judge took upon himself the penalty for the sin of the world. So much so that the Father forsook the Son as he became one with the sin. And paid the penalty for you. Foreknowing our need of a Savior, God demonstrated, Romans 5:8, his love for us. While we are yet sinners, he died for us. You and I have a situation we really can't get out of. We're born with a sin nature. We We can't change that. There's a penalty for being a sinner, and it's death. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus Christ stepped off the bench and became our representative, fully God and fully man, and as man took on the penalty of your sin. If you do not and refuse to allow Christ to be the penalty for your sin, then you in turn accept the fact that you in turn will have to pay for your own sin eternally, with no way of coming up with enough satisfaction to atone for it. If you are without Christ, you are without forgiveness and a way out of your situation you cannot change. Jesus was in the desert for 40 days, tested. He said, man does not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded from the mouth of God. Christ knows hunger and loneliness and pain and sorrow and desperation. He knows shame. He knows alienation. He knows betrayal. He knows death. And he knows the weight of your sin and wants to give you a yoke that is easy and light. He's been anywhere that you haven't been and experienced the things you haven't experienced yet, good, bad, and indifferent, as a human being. And he offers up his body as a living sacrifice, knowing that you're fractured and I'm broken. If we don't do anything during the fast, we have to meditate upon and consume Jesus Christ, that we become more like him. This is the body of Jesus Christ. I mean that. This is the body of Jesus Christ, broken for you. Let's partake of the body of Christ. You talked about unsearchable things this morning, beneath the root, revelatory things, things we didn't. We think we know, but we really, they're unsearchable. You can search them all your life and still find them unsearchable. You can find them so much more than you spending your whole life trying to understand. This is the blood of Christ. It's a sacrament. It's a mystery. Devote yourself to every commentary and every prayer, and you'll still find it unsearchable. It's the one thing that has its own category, and that category is unsearchableness, mysteriousness. If you want to be closer to Christ, this is the body of Christ. This is the blood of Christ that we just partook of. Your sins are forgiven by that blood. It's so far beyond your ability to understand that you can only stand enough to accept it. But beyond that, you can't. And that's what you want, because that's the one thing that covers your sin. By faith, the blood of Jesus Christ. On the night our Lord was betrayed, he took the cup and he drank it. He said, drink ye all of it. Your sins are forgiven.